Amen. With this said, I would like to invite us to open up our Bibles to the passage that I'll be reading from for this morning's message in English. I'll be reading from John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, and I'll be starting with the first verse, reading up to verse 9. Again, it's going to be John chapter 15, and I'm going to be reading from verses 1 through 9. And the Word of God says, Jesus speaking here, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. Lastly, verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Amen. You guys may be seated. I want to start off my message this morning by asking a question, and more of a personal question that I'd like for us to ask ourselves. And have you ever looked at your life and thought, why don't I have the same joy, the passion, or maybe even spiritual impact that maybe you used to have at some other point in your life? There may have been moments in your life, maybe such as your conversion, where you saw that after you gave your life to Christ, there was much fruitfulness in your life. We may remember how initially after we started walking with Christ and we started walking with him, prayer was easy. And it was something that we looked forward to. Maybe we, in our earlier Christian walk, we had the interest and the desire to evangelize and to spread our faith of what we believe in Jesus. And it was thrilling and it was exciting. And maybe at that point in time, we remember we were so in love with Jesus that when we heard about his commandments, it wasn't something that was burdensome to keep. It wasn't something that we looked at and said, you know what, is this too difficult for me? This is something that I don't want to keep. Maybe for some of us young folk here in this room, maybe when we were at some point of our life going to a convention or maybe a youth camp experience we maybe had, we maybe were touched by a message that at some point in our life impacted us. And at that point, we became fruitful. We started doing more for the Lord. We started spending more time in his word, and we enjoyed spending time in his word. And more than that, we looked forward to going to church, to worship, to be with the brethren, to be with others, and to worship God overall because we were impacted. And we had this fruit in that moment of our life. Now, it's evident that moments and experiences like these in our life exist. And we've seen fruitfulness at times in our lives that was evident to us, and not only evident to us, but to others. But the big question I want us to ask ourselves this morning is this: why is it at times that we're fruitful and sometimes we're not? If we will self-examine our lives and we will really look deep into our hearts, I believe we will notice symptoms and signs of unfruitfulness all around us that are significant to us. Maybe it's the laziness that so often grips us to the point where we do nothing. Maybe it's the lack of joy that we may be having when we enter into the house of the Lord. There's not that joy that we used to have at our earlier conversion. Or maybe there's a lack of engagement when maybe you are in the outside world and you see people who do not know Christ and you have this disconnect with them. You have no more that desire to tell them about your faith, to tell them about what Christ has done for you. And it's evident and it kind of bothers you. I know it bothers me when I notice this unfruitfulness at times. And I believe with this understanding that we may have about ourselves of the unfruitfulness we see in our lives, we may be wondering, how can I be more fruitful when it's so hard sometimes to be fruitful, when I'm struggling to be fruitful, when there's unfruitfulness in my life? How can I go back to that state of fruitfulness where I can be fruitful for the Lord as I once was? If we look at the passage that we just read here this morning in John chapter 15, we will see that Jesus brought an important lesson to the disciples about how to remain fruitful. And at this particular point in time in the Gospel of John, we find that Jesus was nearing his final hours before he would be taken to the cross. And he tells this to the disciples in John chapter 14, a chapter prior to chapter 15. In verse 9, he says, "A little while longer and the world will see me no more." And we see here that Jesus has this heart-to-heart moment as he's speaking with the disciples and telling them, "I'm not going to be with you anymore." And he has a heart-to-heart with them to tell them something important. Because at this point in time, the disciples were probably wondering, how are we going to continue on to see Christ's ministry that he started be fruitful? Until now, as Jesus was with them, everything was fruitful. Jesus was healing the sick. Jesus was casting out those who were demon-possessed. Jesus was speaking with such power and anointing that when he spoke, people listened. And when people came to rebuttal him, he had a word every moment to speak to them that told them and put them in their place that they were wrong. Jesus was fruitful in and of himself. But now the disciples are wondering, we still don't understand, Jesus, what you're saying about leaving. But if you're leaving, how are we going to continue on and be fruitful without you? It's a question, an important question that they asked. Now, since the disciples most likely had this question in mind of how to remain fruitful when Jesus would leave, and maybe too we're wondering, how can we be more fruitful in times where we notice we're not being fruitful, this morning I want us to understand what are some things from this passage of scripture that will teach us to be more fruitful. And therefore, this morning, I've titled my message, "Why Am I Not Fruitful Anymore?" And with the help of the Holy Spirit, we're going to look at three reasons why we may have lost our fruitfulness for Christ. And more importantly, how scripture shows us the way back to a fruitful life. And with this said, the first reason that I'll be going over, the first point for my message this morning is this. The first reason may be that you may have lost your fruitfulness for Christ is because you have forgotten that the strength to be fruitful comes from Jesus. If we will look in verses 4 and 5 in chapter 15 here, we will find that Jesus expresses that fruitfulness is absolutely impossible apart from him. It's not possible. In verse 4 through 5, Jesus makes it plain and simple, and he says this, "Abide in me and I in you as the branch cannot," somebody say cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. "Neither can you unless you abide in me." In verse 5, it says here, "He who abides in me and I in him bears fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Somebody say nothing. We can do nothing apart from him. There's a common misconception today within many modern day churches that we can be fruitful for Christ if we just try harder. If I just try harder. And there are some churches that have this mentality that just pull yourself up by your bootstraps and you can do it. You know, if you just push yourself more to love others around you, we can spread the love of God to all the world. If you just push yourself to fight more for peace within your church, you can bring peace to all the places where there is no peace. If you just push yourself to be more faithful to God and be more faithful to those around you, you can be more faithful. You can do it. Just do it, like the Nike logo would say. Just do it. You can do it. Now, all of this sounds good, right? The application of doing your part, one would say. And it's important. But spiritually, Jesus reveals to us that if we want to be people who produce spiritual fruit, we need to have a source of spiritual strength. If we want to do spiritual things that are good, that are godly, that produce godliness in our life, we have to remain attached to the source of godliness, which is Christ. Because the reality is, the Bible says that the fruit that we seek to bear in our life are not our own fruit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit It doesn't say, but our fruit is love, joy. No, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit of Christ, that is. Christ's Spirit is the life force that brings forth for us the power and the strength to be able to produce fruit. It's not of yourself, brother. It's not of yourself, sister. It's only through Christ. Think about it. This is why Jesus used this example. Him in all his wisdom, he used this to framework something for us so we would never forget. A branch has no life in and of itself. If you take a branch out of a vine tree and you take it out, it will not grow. It will not do anything. Even though that vine that you just cut is green and maybe has fruit buds on it, it will not be able to act as an independent tree or an independent vine. It will eventually die and dry out. And altogether, that fruit that was on that branch that was cut off will die. It will not be produced. With regard to fruitfulness, I think at times the reason we oftentimes struggle to be fruitful is because we forget that the Lord has been our strength, and he is and will continue to be our strength, him and him alone. I've noticed that many times in my life as I would get closer to the Lord, and I believe we could all resonate with this, maybe after a period of fasting or maybe after an annual convention or conference or youth camp experience or even being at youth or church in general, you know, when you would make the effort to grow closer to the Lord, you feel a sense of empowerment. You feel God's strength in you. You feel empowered, and in a sense, it feels good. Life feels light. You can move forward with this strength within you. And you notice that your life starts revolving more around Christ. You love your neighbor easier. When temptation comes, because you had that experience with God and you're close to him, you easily turn away from temptation. It's not hard. But then the time that you forget that it was Christ that made that all possible in your life, that moment that you forget that Christ made it all possible for you to produce those fruit, is the moment that we start to see those fruit stop. Isn't that right? That moment where we think, hey, I figured it out. I'm doing it. I'm producing fruit. I got closer to the Lord and now I'm producing fruit, is the moment that you hit a wall spiritually and you don't see the fruit anymore. Why is that that happens? I believe we're so frustrated when we see that happen in our life, but why is that? I believe that it's because oftentimes we try to be an independent vine. And we develop a pride within us that says, you know what? I have fruit on me. Look at me. I'm green. I can do it. Boom. And we cannot produce fruit on our own. And because of the spiritual pride that rises up within you, as you rejoice in all the godly things that you see in your life, the spiritual fruit, you have omitted yourself out of the vine of Christ. You've self-cut yourself out of the vine because you thought you can do it on your own. How can we better abide in Christ and be more fruitful? By humility and dependency on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus in verse 5 said, and I want to reiterate, without me, you can do nothing. Every single time we develop this pride in our hearts and we forget to humbly remain submitted to Christ and abide in the vine, fruits die. But look at what Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7 says. What blessing is there for those that remain abiding in Christ and trust in him? Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7 says, blessed, somebody say blessed. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought. Nor will cease from yielding fruit. Somebody say fruit. What a blessing it is when you stay close to the Lord. What a blessing it is when you trust in the Lord. It is not difficult to bear fruit. And the Bible says you will not cease from producing fruit because what you remain connected to as the vine of Christ, you will have the power within you which comes from Christ to produce fruit. And I pray that this morning, that for all of us who maybe have been struggling with this, that God would give us the strength to have a humble heart, to draw close to him and say, Lord, I want to start depending on you more for producing fruit. I've been trying too hard to produce fruit on my own, and when I've been trying harder, it's not been happening. It's been unnatural fruit. God, put me back in the vine. I want your strength, that fruit would be produced for your sake, for your name to be glorified. Amen. May God help us with this. The second reason maybe that you have lost your fruitfulness for Christ is because you have things in your life that are not sinful but don't help to produce fruit. If you look in verse 2, we will see that Jesus mentions how pruning is vitally important for the vine to be able to produce fruit. Now, because we may not all know what this is, pruning is a process by which one removes unneeded leaves and branches from a tree to help the tree to be able to have more strength or power, we say, to create fruit. A tree in its previous year, after it's done producing fruit, it will start to store up sugars through photosynthesis in the leaves to store and put it all into the root so that for the next season, whatever storage system of sugars it has, it will be able to use that sugar to produce leaves, branches, vines. It will be able to produce fruit. And all of this is done with intention for the plant, for the vine to have things to work with. But the thing is that not everything that the vine uses to work with is going to produce fruit. And the danger is if a vine tree is not pruned, during the next season, the tree will produce lower quality of fruit. And sometimes if this repeatedly happens over maybe a year or two or three, that vine is at stake of not even producing any fruit. I remember when I was younger, my grandpa, every year in our backyard, would take care of one of the vie, or the grapevines that we had. And we had many grapevines, but I remember it specific during that time of spring, when the leaves were coming out, that he would go out and cut a bunch of them off. And I remember as a kid being 10, 11 years old, I would be watching him and I would be thinking, man, is he just upset or something? Or mad he had a bad day that he's going to remove all these leaves? Because, he'd be taking a lot off. And I remember looking at it, I said, man, those leaves are nice. They're good looking. Why are you taking them off? And I remember to my surprise, a couple months later, as that vine was producing fruit, I saw lots of fruit on that vine. And I remember that my grandpa had a point. There was a reason to it. Now, I remember specifically after my grandpa passed away and he wasn't taking care of the grapes anymore, the grapevines, to my surprise, I was shocked. In the first year that the grapevine was not pruned and not cleaned, the grapes that were produced in that load were less. And the most shocking thing I realized, the second year, yes, we didn't take care of the vines, the second year that the grapevines were not pruned yet again, the grapes became even less and smaller. And I remember trying those fruits one time. They were so small and they looked ugly. They looked dirty and they looked not good to eat. Now, the interesting thing was that grape tree on the outside that I remember seeing that had such little fruit, it had so many leaves, it had so many branches, but it was struggling to produce fruit. Another reason why we may not be fruitful in our lives is because the energy that is being provided to us to exist that comes from Christ, from abiding in Him, is not being invested in the right places. It's being invested in the wrong places. And I believe we oftentimes invest in these non-sinful things in life, and we hide behind that as an excuse, but these things do not produce fruit in us. I like to call these non-sinful things that we oftentimes abide in as time wasters, spending time on social media. It's not bad, right, to go and see what everybody else is doing, but does it help to produce fruit? Surfing the web, it's not bad to go and research and learn and gain knowledge for the kingdom. It's not bad. But if you're over-focused on all these things, do they help you to produce fruit? I believe we could all be honest and understand it doesn't. It doesn't. I want to be clear that sometimes these non-sinful things that we give our time to cause us to be unfruitful. And we see that Jesus, in the parable of the sower, speaks about the dangers of being caught up with all these things of the world, these non-sinful things, because they could inhibit us from producing fruit. Matthew chapter 13, verse 22 says, "Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of the riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." What's not sinful may not be helpful. And what's not sinful may lead you often to the sin of unfruitfulness, a danger we have to watch out of. So how can we deal with this non-sinful things in our life, these extra leaves and greens on the branches that we are in Christ, to be more fruitful for Christ? By letting Jesus prune, by pruning the unnecessary things in our life so that fruit can grow. Maybe for some of us, we are hiding behind these habits. But Jesus' way of dealing with unfruitfulness is to cut out anything in your life that doesn't produce fruit. And even if it's a non-sinful thing. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. This morning, I would like to invite us to let Jesus prune those unnecessary leaves, those unnecessary branches in your life that are not helpful to you. Maybe you're upset. Even I get upset when I see myself spending too much time on my phone. Maybe, you know, we feel this all the time. When we're not being fruitful, it bothers us. Hasn't it bothered you enough? Let Jesus remove that thing. Yeah, it's not sinful, but it's not helpful. And you're not happy anyways. Allow Jesus, the one who wants to preserve joy for your life, prune you, cut you, so that you can be a beautiful vine for the kingdom and be happy at the end of it all that you were a fruitful servant for his kingdom. May God help us with all of this. Amen. Lastly, the third reason you may have lost your fruitfulness for Christ is because, I think this is the most important one, you have lost perspective of your love for Jesus. Jesus says in verse 9, as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Somebody say love. What is interesting here is that Jesus doesn't tell the disciples to merely abide a part of the vine because you need to. We need to abide a part of the vine if we want to produce fruit. But we see here that Jesus is kind of now switching from need to want. And he's saying, if you want to be fruitful, you need to be one that loves me back. Because I'm loving you and I'm pouring out to you. But because you lack that connection with me that comes through love, which in fact is so powerful, you cannot remain connected. You need to remain connected to the vine, but sometimes because we fall out of love with Christ, we cut ourselves out of the vine again. And we try to branch ourselves into a different vine that seems to love us better. The things of this world, the things that we think will fulfill us. You see, when we first came to Christ, when we abided in that love, it wasn't difficult for us to do the right thing. It wasn't difficult to be fruitful. It wasn't difficult to love those around us. It wasn't difficult to go to church. Because why? There was a motivation. When you saw Christ Jesus come through to your life and you had your road to Emmaus, your road to Damascus experience, and Jesus Christ came and he pulled you out of the pit, you were captivated by what he did for you. And because you were captivated by him reaching out to you where you were in your darkness, you started to have a connection with him because you appreciated what he's done for you. We need to love Jesus. And sometimes I think we focus too much on just trying to keep the commandments. I want to be fruitful by keeping the commandments. But John chapter 14, verse 21 says here, he who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. If we flip that, we can get the truth as well. If you love God, you will keep his commandments. And I think so many times we miss the great opportunity of being people who are more fruitful for the kingdom because we switch the order and I want to do what's right. I want to do what's good. But you know what? Have you not focused on what's more important? To love Jesus? We see Jesus says in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, that the greatest commandment out of all of them is you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. To which Jesus says, all of the laws of the prophets, every single commandment that you're trying to keep is hinged on this. That you love the Lord your God with all your heart. Why? Because you serve that which you love. You serve that which you love. If love for Jesus is so powerful that it naturally moves us, it makes us want to serve him, it makes us want to do things for him, the question that we need to ask ourselves this morning is this: are we still abiding in the love that Jesus has for us? Are we still abiding in that moment where we had that first encounter with Christ? That moment where we had our first love, where we were captivated by him? Or is it just some experience that we had at one point in our life before we gave our life to Christ and were baptized? If we are not abiding in the love for Jesus in this season of our lives, how can we start abiding again in the love, in this love, so that we can be more fruitful again? And I think it all hinges on this, by appreciating him more for all that he's done for us. Appreciation. In Luke chapter 7, verse 37, we see that Jesus is dealing with a sinful woman at the Pharisee's house. And there was a certain woman that came to Jesus who was loaded with sin, that had so many issues. And we see in verse 37 that the Bible says in Luke chapter 7 here, "And behold, a woman in that city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him, weeping." Why was she weeping? "And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil." And we see after this particular deed happened by the woman, the Pharisees in the room criticized Jesus because they were saying, "You don't know who this woman is. You don't realize what she's done. How could you let her cry on your feet, wipe your feet with her hair? How could you let this sinful woman do such a thing?" And in the moment, we see Jesus in all his wisdom turn to Peter, and he says in verse 40, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So he says, "Teacher, say it." "There was a certain creditor who had two debtors," verse 41. "One owed 500 denarii and the one other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both." And Jesus says, "Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And Jesus said to him, "You have rightfully judged." The reality is, the one way that we love Jesus more is by realizing in a deeper sense what he's done for us. You will appreciate Jesus more in your life, and you will be careful to walk more in fruitfulness if you are more thankful and more happy for what Christ has done for you in your life. So many times we don't realize just how much sin Christ has forgiven us of. We don't realize just how many times, you know, Christ has reached down in the pit for us when we walked away from him. And we see in this example that this woman that came crying and weeping, she was crying and weeping because she realized just how much Jesus forgave her, just how much Christ did for her. And it wasn't easy to go in the room full of people when so many times we're ashamed to be worshiping God in front of people. She wasn't ashamed to go against the biggest people in the room and to cry at his feet and worship him. And so many times when we're here, we have a hard time worshiping him. How do we have a hard time worshiping him when he's done us so much good? When he's loved us so deeply that he sent his one and only son to come down, to leave heaven for me and for you, so that through him we could have life and life more abundantly. Why is it so difficult at times to love him? Because we forget the big thing he's done for us. He's done it all. He's done it all. We sang about him. He died and he rose again for us. But he lowered himself to be among man that was so sinful as well. May God help us to be people that truly acknowledge and appreciate him for what he's done for us, because he is worthy to be praised, just as we sang this morning. With this, I will conclude. Why is it at times we are not fruitful? Number one, we may have forgotten that the strength to be fruitful comes from Jesus. Jesus said, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." How do we fix this? By being humble and depending on Jesus, our source, our strength. Amen. And may God help us with this. Second, why is it at times hard to be fruitful? Because we may have things in our lives that are not sinful, but don't help to produce fruit. At times we have these extra leaves, these extra branches, but they don't help to produce fruit. How can we fix this? By letting Jesus prune and get rid of those extra leaves, those extra vines, so that we can bear fruit. And may God help us with this. And lastly, what is the last thing that keeps us from producing fruit? We may have lost our perspective of the love that we had for Jesus. How can we fix this? Coming back to him. It's so simple. "Lord, I have stopped loving you with all my heart. I have not kept the greatest commandment of loving you and appreciating you for all that you've done for me. Lord, forgive me." And praise be to Jesus that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. And if we've not loved them, he is faithful to continue loving us. And I pray with this said, may God help us as we go throughout this week to be people who walk as fruitful, as we abide in Christ, as we allow Christ to prune us, and as we allow ourselves to abide in his love. Amen. May God help us all.